Hello, everyone. This is Tom Tresh of RightWaySolutions.com, and welcome to the latest installment of my Marketing Mind series. These interviews are designed to provide you with easy access to some of the best marketing resources available. My goal is to give you useful ideas and valuable tools you can use immediately to attract attention, create customers, and build your business. Best of all, these recordings are free for you to use and distribute, so please feel free to pass them on to anyone who wants to enhance their promotional efforts. On this recording, you'll hear from Travis Lee, an internationally known expert in getting direct mail delivered and opened. As president of 3D Mail Results, Lee generates huge returns for thousands of businesses each year that use his innovative multi-step marketing approach. His unique, tested methods help add millions of dollars in sales to businesses ranging from kitchen table-run sole proprietors to international businesses mailing millions of pieces a year. He is the developer of the Done-For-You 3D Mail Direct Marketing System, through which his company provides specialized direct mail premiums, enclosures, and ready-to-use sales letters to thousands of clients worldwide. During this 60-minute interview, you'll discover how to create a successful direct mail campaign, as well as a simple change you can make to any mailed item that will almost always trigger a higher response. Copy samples that make the writing process so easy you can literally create a campaign in minutes, no matter what you sell. Where to find the most powerful and often neglected audience of buyers for your first direct mail package. Why a response rate is not the best way to determine your mailing success, and what factor is a more profitable indicator. The single best rule to remember when determining the shelf life of a direct mail promotion. How to get a master's level education in direct mail without taking a single class or buying any courses, and much more. So let's get started. All right, Travis. Well, I thank you for joining me today, and I'm excited to have you on to talk some direct mail. And so the first question I have for you is I'd just like to know how you got into this business and what attracted you to direct mail.
Well, it's actually a pretty interesting story. At least I think it is. Hopefully the listeners will too. We actually run this business with my father, Keith, and he actually owns another business called American Retail Supply. So we kind of have two businesses under one roof now. And he's owned that business, been the GM since the early 80s and been the owner since the mid-90s. He bought out his business partner. And what actually happened was we were using, I shouldn't say we, I was still in grade school at the time, but he was using a lot of direct mail to grow that business. In fact, he found a marketing guru who I know you know, Tom, named Dan Kennedy, who preached to him that, you know, regardless of whether you're business-to-business, business-to-consumer, try to find a way to make direct mail work in your business. And so that's kind of how we got started. So we, and again, I say we, and it's him because I wasn't even involved yet, but we started using direct mail pretty heavy in about 1993, and in fact, our first, what we now call 3D mail campaign, we actually sent a real dollar bill in the mail. We've since moved on to fake money because it's a whole lot less expensive and still gets the same response rate, but we actually sent a real dollar bill in the mail, and it actually, believe it or not, this was in 1993. It was the fall of 1993, and we sent that letter to 500 different people as a test, and we ended up getting about a 32% response rate over the three steps that we sent out. So needless to say, after our very first trial of 3D mail and direct mail in general, we were hooked. And so we actually started using direct mail for all different parts of our business. So what I just described to you was actually for a new client acquisition. These were cold prospects. Maybe they've heard of us just in passing, but they weren't in our database. They weren't clients of ours. They weren't customers. And so then we started branching out. And so we started using it to current customers. We started using it to use stuff pre and post trade shows. We have six big trade shows a year, two in three different locations. So we started using them for that kind of stuff. Then we decided we wanted to kind of get into the business of helping our clients grow their business. So we started putting on seminars and boot camps. And we used 3D and direct mail to grow those businesses. And so when I came to work with my dad, actually, and this is about 2005 now, we had been using 3D mail for all kinds of stuff that we had started. all kinds of stuff that we've been doing with our business. And he actually came to me with an idea and said, hey, you know, we have trouble sourcing all the stuff that we want to use here domestically, and just, you know, at the dollar store and Kmart and wherever we can find this stuff. Why don't you jump in and see if you can start finding this stuff cheaply, effectively, and we can just bring it into our warehouse and start selling to people? Because quite frankly, people would see our stuff and they would ask where in the world we got these ideas, and we'd have to tell them, well, we just went to the dollar store, you know, we found a trinket store, we found a guy trying to unload 5,000 of these things on eBay, and that's kind of how we got started. So we actually started this business almost because we needed the business to support the other business, if you will. So it's actually pretty interesting. Our main business, we have a big warehouse. I won't bore you with the details, but we got a big warehouse full of stuff that retail stores need to operate. So their garment racks, their boxes, their bags, their gift wrap. If you go buy a shirt at, you know, buy a shirt from anywhere, any retail store, and they got the little tags that you have to rip off. All that kind of stuff is what we sell. And so for us to bring in new products from overseas, to bring them into our warehouse that already has a whole bunch of stuff, it actually fit really well into our current business model. So we actually took one business and kind of piggybacked it on top of another one without ever having to add anything, new warehouses, new anything. And I guess you could kind of steal the line. I think it was the Norelco shaver from maybe 20 years ago that said, I like the shave so much I bought the company. Well, we like the stuff so much that we started the company kind of deal. So.
Well, and it sounds like, I mean, you had that early success using these items in your mailing. I mean, you mentioned a 32% response rate to a cold list. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah. And unfortunately, those have dipped now. We don't get anywhere near that, but those, and there's a lot of reasons for that we could debate for well over an hour. We won't get into it too much. But now we get, you know, but we still consistently get positive response rates that make us worth doing direct mail, and more specifically 3D mail, attractive. Absolutely.
Now, you've mentioned this concept of 3D mail a few times. Now, so what is exactly 3D mail?
Well, when you say 3D, that's exactly what we mean. We mean three-dimensional mail. And so if there's some direct mail students on the line, you may have heard of dimensional mail. You may have heard of lumpy mail. Those are all copyrighted by somebody else, so we now have 3D mail, but they all mean the same thing. And basically what it is, it's really two things. It's, first off, mail that is completely different than what you normally get in your mailbox. If you think about the mail that you get, whether it's at home or at the office, you know, there's postcards, there's stuff in envelopes. I know we have a lot of financial planners on the call and stuff like that. They'll send you the big 9x12 envelope. But it all pretty much looks the same, right? It's a white envelope. It's a postcard. Think Capital One credit card mailers, right? Number 10 envelope, computerized address on the outside, logo in the upper left. What 3D mail is, it's now mail that has length and width like any other kind of mail, but it also has depth. We literally mean three-dimensional mail, and so. Inside of 3D mail, we have really what we call two classifications of 3D mail. We have quote-unquote ride-alongs, which are things that you would put into the envelope to give it a lump, to arouse curiosity, to make it look and feel different than everything else. So I gave you the example of a real dollar bill. We now send out a million-dollar bill. Not too lumpy, but as soon as they open it, there's money attached to the top of the letter, so it's a great eye-catcher. We've included things like boomerangs for inactive customers, and we'll get into some of that later. We've included things like little wooden nickels that say Tuit on it, T-U-I-T, and because they haven't gotten around to it yet, so that may be a follow-up piece to something. We've sent things like compasses for inactive clients, and we'll get into some of that later. So those are what we call ride-along 3D mail. The other things that we have are what we call self-mailing 3D mail pieces. And these are things that actually don't even go into an envelope. They actually mail all on their own, if you can picture this. So we'll mail things like a real vinyl bank bag with a zipper on the top. And we'll actually put our label on the outside, put our postage on the outside, put our letter on the in the inside and literally drop that right in the mail. So it's a self-mailing piece. You don't have to put it in a box. We've used things like pill bottles to cure someone's headache from blank, you know, fill in the blank. It can really be just about any business in there. So curing your financial headaches, curing your law headaches, whatever it may be. You know, so we'll send a pill bottle in the mail, and we literally put a postage label, put a mailing label, put a postage label right on the pill bottle, drop it in the mail, and it shows up just like that. So the bottom line is it really looks different than anything else you're sending and anything else your clients are getting, that's for sure.
Well, now I have to kind of play devil's advocate here, because there are, of course, a lot of people, and I'm sure you run across this quite a bit, where they say, well, that sounds kind of gimmicky, whether it's a bank bag or a pill bottle or whatever it is, you know, where you're making that piece of mail have some dimension to it. It's too gimmicky. That kind of stuff doesn't work. So, you know, and it seems, I mean, you've proven that it does work. So why does 3D mail get such great results?
Well, there's a couple different reasons why it does. First off, we've seen it work everywhere. We've seen it work in the B2B world. We've seen it work in the B2C world. But really, first off, people see the same thing every single day, right? So they, like we said, think about, just look at, collect your mail for 3 or 4 days and then look at it. It all pretty much looks the same. So what it does is it kind of gets them out of their pattern. You know, you may want to call it a pattern interrupt, if you will. I've heard that term used before. That's more coined for people using stuff on stage, for example. If they're working from the stage and trying to sell you something and you're in a conference room or something like that. But it really is a pattern interrupt. It's so different. It's so unique. It stands out so much that when they see it, it's so different, they have to look at it. And so what we find is that we're really more concerned with our return on our investment when it comes to that kind of stuff, right? So if you think about it, you can send out 10,000 postcards. But if you don't get anybody to reply, well, then you've wasted 10,000 postcards. Like I said, we're really concerned with that return on investment. So you may want to send out 500 pill bottles instead, or 500 bank bags, or 500 of something. And what we find is that will almost always, while the cost may go up, that will almost always get a bump in response, which almost always beats out whatever you were spending on the postcard. So bottom line is it gets read. If you send out direct mail and it doesn't get read, you cannot make a sale. And I'll kind of give you an example of what I mean by that here. Gary Halbert, who has passed away a couple years ago, he was one of the legends in direct mail, said that we have, when we get our mail, whether it's at the home or at the office, we have three different piles that we quote-unquote put it in. Whether it's in our head, whether we physically file it, stack it, whatever. I know a lot of people actually do physically put it in piles. But we have A pile mail, we have B pile mail, and we have C pile mail. And what C pile mail is it's trash, right? You know exactly what it is. It's not for you. It's an ad for the gym down the street that you know you're not going to join. It's the 17th credit card thing you've gotten in the last 6 days. They go right into the trash, right? So that's C pile. In B pile, we have kind of, I call that mail purgatory. That's kind of stuff, okay, I might be interested in, or I might have to get to it. So for some of us, it might be the water bill, right? Okay, that water bill comes, I got 3 weeks to pay it, it's going to go over here in the bill stack, and I'm going to look, you know, I got an idea what the bill is, it's going to go over here and I'll deal with it later. You know, for some of us, maybe it's a newsletter from an alumni association or a civic organization. It's one of those things that kind of go off, you know, okay, you know, I got time tonight, I'll read it, you know, when I kick back and watch a little TV and thumb through this. And that's the B pile. Where we want to live with our direct mail is in the A pile. And the A pile has things like letters from grandma, right? So if your grandma, who actually still writes handwritten notes, right, doesn't use email. You know, things like important invitations to weddings, stuff like that. So what we want to do is we want to get in that pile that gets immediately opened and read. And I've got a quick little story to kind of illustrate that. I'll admit it's a bit extreme, but it kind of illustrates the picture in how to get into the A pile. let's say you're having some health issues and you go to your doctor, and your doctor says, okay, Tom, we've got to send these off. We got to send your blood results off to XYZ Laboratories, and they're going to mail you the results, and the results are going to tell you if you're healthy or if you're sick. And so 2 weeks go by, and you go out to that mailbox, and you open it up, and it says XYZ Laboratories test results enclosed. When are you going to open that piece, Tom?
Oh, that's immediate.
Exactly. So that's the kind of urgency we want to create. And, you know, what we find is that most people, you know, you use the word gimmicky or something like that. What we find is the vast, vast majority of people are bored and overwhelmed. They see the same thing every time. And the vast, vast majority of people, frankly, get a kick out of it. Because I think you'll agree with me, Tom, the vast majority of us have pretty good senses of humor, right?
Right.
We can get a chuckle out of something, especially something, you know, that's a little, what's the right word I'm looking for? A little out of place, if you will, right? So getting a pill bottle in the mail, or getting a bank bag, or getting a boomerang, or getting a million-dollar bill stapled to a letter, you know, most of us can actually get a chuckle out of that. And quite frankly, Tom, what I tell people is, if that 1% of people who don't like it, if that bothers you, don't do it. And quite frankly, if that 1%, if it bothers them, I frankly don't want. That's the 1% I wouldn't want as a customer, to be honest with you, if they can't have a little chuckle every now and then.
Right.
So that would be my long-winded response to that question.
Now what about the correlation between the item and then what's inside? As far as does your item always have to relate to your copy inside, your offer, that kind of stuff, or can you just have an item for the sake of having an item in your mailing?
You know, that's a great question, Tom. That's something that gets overlooked, I think, and the answer is yes. You, in almost every case, and I can't think of one where you would want to. In almost every case, you would want to have some sort of obvious or at least semi-obvious tie-in to the piece that you're sending, and the letter that to the 3D mail piece that you're sending, and then the actual letter that you're sending. And here's what I mean by that. So let's say I'm a chiropractor, and I've got a list of people who have not been in for whatever reason for 6 months, and I'm going to send them this boomerang, right? Because I want to get them back. So what you do is you put that boomerang in the envelope. And then your headline would read something like, "Dear Tom, we want you back." You know, Susie, our office manager, was going through our office files the other day and found out that you hadn't been in the last 6 months. And just like this boomerang, we want you to come back into the office, get your free evaluation, and then go on and on and on. I'm no chiropractor, so I'm not going to pretend that I can write glowing copy for a chiropractor. But it doesn't have to be glowing copy. It just has to be good copy. That's the good thing about this stuff. So yes, you almost always want to tie that piece in. So if you're a financial planner, maybe following up to a meeting that you sent, you may want to send that pill bottle and now say, you know, "Dear Tom, I know the recent stock market activity may be giving you a headache, but that's something we can really help you with," right? And then you can go on into the rest of your letter. So you really want to do. And I'm glad you brought that up, Tom, because it's something people miss a lot. You really want to tie that object that you're using at least loosely into the copy. If you can make a loose connection between the two, you're going to be fine. And in almost all cases, you can make a more than a loose connection. Because if you think about it, what are most businesses doing? They're either, you know, solving a problem, taking away pain, adding pleasure, right? That's kind of the three things that all of us as business owners do for whoever our constituents may be, whether that's other businesses, whether that's consumers. You know, we take away pain, we solve problems, or we give pleasure, right?
Right.
And so the bank bag, obvious tie-ins to that, the pill bottle. I mean, I could go on and on. We got 39 different items that we stock in our warehouse all the time. So each one can be tied in, to just about any business.
What about the difference between business to business and business to consumer? I mean, some of these examples that you're giving, or most of these examples you're giving, are sound more B2C. I mean, does this work also for B2B businesses?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, the two businesses where I live, the retail supply business that I told you about that we started with in the early 90s, and the business I'm in now, is strictly B2B. You know, so we actually find, you know, it's actually funny. My B2B customers say that may work in B2C, but not B2B, and then the other side says vice versa. You know, they, you know, kind of a never-ending cycle, if you will. But we find it works great in both places. And here's the reason. First off, again, people are bored and overwhelmed, right? And when I say overwhelmed, I literally mean overwhelmed. The last study I read says the average American will see between 3,200 and 3,500 advertising messages per day. And that may seem like a lot, but now just, so it's now 10:30 a.m. here on the West Coast, or when we're doing this call, Tom. And I can tell you on my way, because I make about a 30-minute drive into my office from my home. Now think about all the radio commercials I heard, all the commercials I heard while I was getting ready for work and had the TV on, was watching some Disney Channel with my kid this morning, right? All those commercials. Think about all the signs I saw on the way to the office today, all the golden arches, all the sandwich boards for the insurance agent sitting on the side of the road. Those are all messages that we've learned to ignore. So that's what I mean by we're overwhelmed, is we're so overwhelmed that we've just learned to ignore them, so we don't even notice them anymore. And so what we find is that, you know, whether you're sending it to the boardroom office the boardroom table or the kitchen table, you know, people are people and buyers are buyers, and they're overwhelmed by everything that they see, and they do like a little chuckle out of life. You know, they do like seeing that, you know, seeing the different stuff, being entertained a little bit. Like I said, a lot of people don't think it's professional enough for business to business. Like I said, I use my own two businesses as examples. I mean, all we do is sell to businesses, and we sell from everything, you know, to mom and pops, you know, one man shows running it out of his kitchen table, to literally Fortune 1000 companies. I mean, people mailing millions of pieces a year, and that's not an exaggeration. It works on both ends, you know. And then the debate always comes up, you know, well, there's a gatekeeper at the office. Well, you know what? There's probably a gatekeeper at home, too, right? My wife, fortunately, for us as a stay-at-home mom, I have no idea how much mail she sees that I don't ever see, right?
Right.
Same thing here at the office. And then the same thing goes, well, there's a committee at the office. We got to go through committee, and four people have to make up the decision. Well, same thing at home, right? I don't know about you, but if it's a decision of any more, if it's any significant of a decision whatsoever, there's at least a committee of two making that decision in my home, you know. So the similarities between business-to-business and business-consumer marketing are way more similar than they are dissimilar.
Okay, so let's, you know, we've gone through some examples on how this works, how it can work. Let's say that there is a, you know, a business owner, entrepreneur listening to this right now, and they have not done direct mail, much less 3D mail before. Mm-hmm. How do you recommend that they get started? Where is step one?
The very first place I would use direct mail in general, and then more specifically 3D mail. So everything I'm going to tell you right now goes for direct mail, and probably goes doubly for 3D mail. And the first place I would use it, and I'll go down the three ways that I would use it. The first place I would use it is with your in-house customer list that you have right now. The vast, vast, vast majority of businesses, whether you sell to businesses or to consumer, vastly under-advertise to their current customers. I mean, they just do, right? We are all so concerned about getting the next new customer that we forget about the 55 we have lined up over here ready to give us money if we just ask them for it, right?
Great point.
So the very first place to start is with your own in-house list. We did this a little backwards when we started direct mail. We started with a cold list first. But if you just want to dip your toe in the water with direct mail in general, find your in-house list and find people who are buying product A but not product B. So let's say you're financial planning and insurance. Let's say you can set up my IRA and you can sell me my auto and life insurance as well. Well, you've got a bunch of people who are getting one and not the other. So go after those people first. Let's say you're a CPA and you have business accounts but not their personal account. I don't know why you wouldn't, but there's probably people out there that have them, right? And vice versa. You know, so find those places in your in-house list and find the kind of the unmet need, if you will, inside your own list. It doesn't take very long to find it. and send to them. And it can be postcard. I mean, don't get me wrong. I am all for regular mail. I still send a ton of just quote-unquote regular old mail, right? So it can be 3D mail or it can be regular mail. So the first place I would start is your own in-house list. The second place I would go is your unconverted prospects, right? So all of us have a drawer full of people who we met with, we talked with, we sat down with. They came in for an appraisal. They came in for this. They asked for our free, or they asked for our, you know, client packet or cat, whatever it is. We all have a list of people somewhere. Whether it's, hopefully it's an actual list in a computer. Some of us may have just stacks of business cards, and they, you know. One's as good as the other as long as you have something to work with. But that'd be the next group that I would encourage you to go after is those unconverted leads. For the chiropractor, maybe the guy that came in and got his appraisal, got his head to toe health analysis, but didn't end up getting any treatment. For somebody like me, in 3D Mail or American Retail Supply, which is the retail supply business, it may be somebody that went online and requested my catalog but didn't buy anything. So for me, it might be that. Let's say we'll go back to our financial services guy. Let's say we did a talk at the local Rotary, or we're a member of a BNI group or something like that, and we did a talk there and we collected business cards, and now we're going to follow up with them. That would be the second place I would use it. First would be your in-house list. Second would be your prospect list. And then third would probably be going out to the quote-unquote unwashed masses.
What was that, that third one?
The unwashed masses, the prospects, just any, again, if you're a chiropractor, finding a neighborhood that you want to reach and mailing to them. Or in my world, in the B2B world, it'd be like that real dollar bill mailing I told you about where we staple the real dollar bill. I think we have a couple minutes. I'll just go over that one real quick. It's actually really cool.
Okay.
What we did with that one is again, this is from Gary Halbert and Dan Kennedy. This stuff's been around for 50 years. We did not make this up. We just utilized it really well. And what we did is we had a letter, very simple. Again, this was 1993, so it was made to look like it was typed on a typewriter, so we used a regular old courier font. What we did is we attached the real dollar bill to a four-page letter. So we had the dollar bill attached to the top. It was a two-page, two-size letter, all in courier font, made to look like it was a typewriter. We don't use that font anymore now. We now use a regular Times New Roman font, but at the time, everything was still in that courier font. Attached that real dollar bill to the top. We folded it up, put it into a number 10 envelope. The number 10 envelope had our return address printed on it, just our address, no name, no business name, just our street number and address. And then the actual envelope was actually, at the time, we actually hand-wrote them all to give them an even more genuine look, and we actually used a real stamp on that. And so that is what we used to go get new customers for years and years and years and years. It probably, that letter with very few little tweaks and edits did very, very well for us until about the mid-2000s. Then it started to dry up a little bit. We had to get a little more creative with it, which is not atypical. I mean, that's typical for direct mail. And, in fact, our shelf life on that probably was longer than most. Most direct mail, if you can really find a good winner, you're going to have anywhere from a couple years to several years where that's going to work real well for you, and then you're probably going to start seeing it tail off. And that's the way direct mail's been since the original mail order days with Sears and Company, going all the way back to the 1800s. So that's not unusual.
Well, I mean, that's still. I mean, you think about any business would beg for something that they know that for X amount of years, 2, 3, 4 years, whatever it is, that they could send something out, and with a very high percentage of certainty that by sending that out, you're going to get X amount of business. I mean, what business would not want that? I mean, that's
exactly, and that's really true for all advertising when you find a winner. And I'm no advocate of big Madison Avenue marketing, so don't take this the wrong way that I'm advocating this. But even think about some of the real popular TV commercials you've seen for some of the big, huge companies out there. Even their best commercials have a shelf life, right? So the Energizer Bunny was around for several years, and now you never see it, right? Because it only had a shelf life of so long. Dude, You're Getting Adele had a shelf life, right? And now you don't see it at all anymore. You know, so you know the Riveting Frogs for Budweiser had a shelf life, right? So even those guys that have millions and millions of dollars to spend, and again, I'm not advocating that you should be doing advertising like that at all, but even them, with their huge ad budgets and ability to see, you know, to advertise on Oprah and the Super Bowl and Monday Night Football and 60 Minutes, even their best stuff has a shelf life, so.
Right, yeah, I mean, that's a great point. And amen, I'm with you on that Madison Avenue stuff. Not the best way for most business owners and entrepreneurs to be advertising
marketing
business.
As a quick aside, it's all brand building. And if you've got $5 million a year to dump into brand building, by all means, go for it. My ad budget is significantly smaller than that, and my advertising needs to pay for itself in the short term. A little less in the short term, but especially in the long term, it better be paying for itself.
Right. Now let's talk about something that you touched on a little bit earlier. That letter that you mailed with the dollar bill on it, basically what you did there is you swiped copy from something that has already worked in the past, that's proven to work in the past. And I think this is something that a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs overlook, that there are there's letters, there's copy that has worked in the past that you can adjust to match your business, and then you know, at least give yourself a good first step toward getting towards something that's going to work for you. Can you explain how the process of swiping copy works and how that applies to 3D mail?
Absolutely, and I'll give you guys our website now, and then we'll do it at the end. But if you go to 3dmailresults.com, that's the number 3, the letter D, 3dmailresults.com, like I said, it's a perfect segue for that. We actually provide people with kind of fill-in-the-blank copy templates. So we'll get into that more at the end, but if you're listening and don't want to wait till the end, 3dmailresults.com. But anyway, and that there you'll get a great resource to what you said to swipe what you see working at other businesses. And quite frankly, that's where we see marketing work the best, is finding stuff from other businesses. And I'm not talking about my competitors. I'm not talking about my competitors who are selling, you know, gift wrap and garment racks to my customers. I'm talking about an idea that I stole from a retail store, right? And I say stole, I mean that in the ethically. We
ethically
call it
stole, yes.
Ethically stolen, in that I took his idea, right? I took his idea and made it work for me. And what we find is that the best ideas for marketing and advertising come from outside of your own business. And so the first time we actually have an X-ray letter, and I don't know, we'll maybe get to what that is here at the end if I have time to describe it. You can go look, see it at the website, but it's our X-ray letter. You'll have to take my word for it. We send an actual what looks like an X-ray, has a, you know, like you would give the doctor. First time I saw that was by a guy named Bill Glazier, who at the time owned retail menswear stores in Baltimore. So he was actually a customer of mine. Right, so he wasn't even a competitor of mine. He was actually a customer of mine, and so we found what he was using in his menswear store and made it work for our retail supply business. I've also seen people that have been using stuff. You know, our $1 million bill letter and the dollar bill letter that came from Gary Halbert, who at the time I think the first time he used that I believe was in the B2B world as well. But it certainly wasn't retail supply products. I can guarantee you it was not that business. I can't remember the exact business that it was. But what we find is that finding stuff that works outside of your industry, adapting it and working it out in your business is the best way to go out and find ways for marketing that works. I tell people all the time that, look at the marketing that you see that's working, and 70 or 80% of it is easily transferable to your business. And then just fill in the gaps for that last, you know, 10, 15, 20%. So I really encourage you to get out of your own industry and see what's working. In fact, if you want a direct mail kind of lesson, like a master's level lesson in direct mail, go and get on people's lists that send a lot of direct mail. So people like Omaha Steaks. Omaha Steaks is not in the steak business. They are in the direct marketing business. They are in the business of marketing their product, which just happens to be steaks and hot dogs and chicken and, you know, all that stuff. So go and get on Omaha Steaks list. If you're a financial guy, you've probably heard of Boardroom Reports. Go get on their list and start seeing the stuff that they send you. You know, I kind of said that all credit card companies kind of look alike, and they all do, but they are spending millions and millions of dollars on direct mail. Pay attention to it. You know, all of it, you know, on the outside it all looks the same, but a lot of times on the inside they got stuff that's completely different. So really start taking a look at your mail, everything that you get. And if it attracts your eye, if it attracts attention, if it moves the needle for you, it's very likely moving the needle for a whole lot of other people, and it could very likely move the needle for the people, for your prospects or your clients as well.
Yeah, great tip there to get on those lists. Now, what about those people? Because I run in this, and I'm sure you run into this quite a bit as well. Is, you know, they'll see something that works, and, you know, then they'll start trying to over-dissect it. Well, you know, that's not going to work for my list. They're not going to respond to it. And besides, I don't really know why that's working. And so they just overanalyze the stuff. I mean, what do you say to those type of people? And, I mean, do you just say, hey, it works. Just go ahead and give it a try? Or, you know, what's your approach?
Yeah, that's probably what I would say. And something that I will tell you is that it doesn't ever – I shouldn't say – it doesn't need to be great or even perfect to start seeing results. And you cannot get results if you don't do anything. You know, it's the whole, you can't hit a home run if you don't swing the bat. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. You know, it's that whole idea. And so while everything may or may not be perfect right then and there, something good, even if it's good, and it can get results for you. Just think of what it can be now after you get it great. That's what I tell people. So what the bottom line is here is you've got to test stuff. And test stuff quickly, test stuff small, and test it quickly. I was at a seminar, I guess it was last month now, we're into December, so it was the beginning of November, and it was a real takeaway line for me. He said, fall forward faster. And what that means is, find lots of things and do a lot of them. Do a lot of them. Find out what works and do it more. Find out what doesn't work. You know, again, it's the whole, I believe it was Edison that said, I didn't find 2,000 ways. I didn't fail at creating a light bulb 2,000 times. I just found 2,000 ways not to make a light bulb. That's what you got to think about your marketing, is you're going to see a lot of stuff that, you know, it may not work or it may only work to a varying degree. But the thing is, you've got to try a lot of stuff, because then when you do get that, you know, that quote-unquote home run, you almost find it because you're doing a lot of stuff. And so you got to test a lot of stuff. And in direct mail, you really want what I encourage people to do with direct mail, and again, specifically 3D mail, is to test smaller. And so instead of sending out those 10,000 postcards like we talked about a couple minutes ago, send out maybe 500 of something else. And really laser focus who you're going to hit. Instead of saying, it's cheaper per piece if I mail 10,000 of these pieces because I get postage rates down, I get my printing rate down. Instead of doing that, really focus on who you want. Is that the right person? So for financial planners, are they making enough money? Do they have a home? Do they have kids that could eventually be, rolled into the business as well for whatever? Really look and really laser target who you want. I call it a shotgun approach to marketing, is what most people do. And that's they get out their shotgun, they don't have anywhere in particular they're aiming, and they shoot, and hopefully something hits something. Well, what we want to do is really laser focus on what we're going to do and really laser target our ideal client and prospect, and pretty much ignore all the other people who are not ideal prospects or clients.
Yeah, there's no sense wasting your time on them. If they're not going to buy from you, why market to them?
You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
Well, now, you touched on there a second ago about cost, and that's something I want to get into. But before we do, I want to take another step back and go back to these, you know, the beginners, the people who, you know, see some opportunity with direct mail. They recognize that they want to give it a try. But I'd like to give some advice on, you know, where do you find most business owners and entrepreneurs are wasting their time when they first get started? You know, where are they just spinning their wheels and, you know, I guess the most common mistakes that you find?
I'm gonna loop back to an answer I gave a little bit ago, and that's ignoring your own in-house list, ignoring those customers you already have lined up. Again, we get so fixated on where is that new customer going to come from, and again, when we've got people lined up, already waiting to give us money if we just ask for it. So, again, so if someone were to come to me and say, "Hey, Travis, if you were going to start with 3D mail, who would I target and what would be the message?" And this is who I would target. I kind of gave you the idea earlier, but I would target your in-house inactive customer list. There is no better way to start testing your direct mail than with your own in-house customer lost client list. And what I mean by a lost client is, so everyone has a list of customers, and everyone has a list of customers who haven't been in for a certain amount of time, and then we deem them lost. So that number differs in all different kinds of businesses, right? So let's say I own a Greasy Spoon diner down the street, right? And Tom, you come in every Tuesday afternoon to get your you come in and you get a turkey sandwich every Tuesday afternoon. Well, if one Tuesday goes by and you're not in, well, I'm thinking, where's Tom? He lost, right? So with every business, there's a prescribed time, if you will, to come back. Some of them, for some businesses, that's pretty easy, right? So the auto repair shop, it's every 3 months or 3,000 miles, right? For the dentist, it's every 6 months, right? You got to come and get your teeth cleaned every 6 months. For other businesses, you got to kind of find your own sweet spot. So for a retail store owner selling high-end jewelry, right? They might think that you need to be in at least once a year, maybe once every 2 years, because if you're married, you'd have a wife's birthday, you'd have an anniversary in there, if you've got kids there, you know what I mean? So that number varies from business to business, and you kind of need to find out what your sweet spot is for that. I can't give you an all-encompassing number for every business. But so that's what I would define as a lost customer. So for the dentist, they didn't make their six-month appointment. At month seven, they're lost. We got to get them back in the door. And so what I would do with them is I would send that boomerang is what I would send. And the boomerang, it's a real, actual plastic boomerang. They actually work. I've been in my backyard. I've thrown them. They go and they come back most of the way. They're not perfect by any means. They're toys. They're little plastic toys. But they get the point across. And so you send this boomerang, you put it into an envelope, and your headline reads, "Dear Tom, we want you back. Sally, our office manager, is going through our files, and we found that we haven't seen you in X amount of days, months, years, whatever it may be. And just like this boomerang, we want you back, and we want to fix that. And so anytime between now and the end of the month, you can come in and take, for a retail store, take 15% off, any one item, whatever it is, and sometimes you don't even need the discount. Sometimes it can just be, "Hey, we want to fix it. Come on in. Let's see you again." If you don't want a discount, you can, you could just have a come on in and let's get reacquainted. You could give something away that's unrelated to your business. So, for example, when we've done that in the past, we've given away. I'm here in rainy Seattle. So if we want to get people into our storefront, because we have a little storefront here attached to our warehouse, we'll give them, say we want to do that in February, we'll give them a free umbrella just for showing up and coming in and taking a look around. That's just one way to do it. There's umpteen dozen different ways to skin that cat on how to get them back in or get them back into you as far as what you offer. But that would be the very, very first place I would go. In-house, customer list, inactive clients, did business with you, aren't doing business with you now. That is the first place I would go.
Okay. Now let's talk about costs. Are there ways that you can mail a 3D item where the cost is still going to be reasonable? And, in fact, are there ways where you can mail and it's not going to be any more than just like a regular first-class stamp?
Yep, there are ways to do that. We have, a lot of our items that are inserted items a lot of those may only add, a lot of them don't add any postage. A lot of them may only add 15 or 20 cents worth of postage. So that's important to consider. Something else, that, and really the most important thing to consider is what your return on your investment is. And that's what we really try to find is that, let's say you are a smart cookie and you do know that you have inactive clients and you have been mailing them, right? Let's say you have been doing that and you've got a postcard that you've been sending out and it's been working for you all right. You know, you're not getting rich on it, but you have positive cash flow on it. You're getting reacquainted with your customers. What I would say to you is let's try that same message with the boomerang and of sales letter instead of a postcard. And what we find almost all the time is that the added cost will be outweighed by the added response and thus added sales for you. So that's what we find almost all the time is that you may have something that's working, or even if you don't have something that's working, or even if you're not even doing any direct mail, the incremental added cost of adding the 3D mail piece almost always. Now, not always. I'm not going to tell you we're perfect because it's not, and nothing is. But almost always, that added cost, the benefit will outweigh the added cost almost always. And I'll kind of loop back to something I said earlier, and that's why you got to test it. So, get 100 boomerangs and send them out to your 100 customers and send out 5 a day for 20 days and follow it up with a phone call if you can. I mean, these are past customers, so you could call them if you wanted to. There's no do not call laws even for our people who market to consumers. If they bought from you, you have every right to give them a call if you want. So that's the thing to remember is we're really concerned about the return on our investment. So if we were mailing a postcard for 50 cents and now we're mailing a boomerang for $1.25, but if we get three times the response and thus three times the sales, boy, I don't really care. It's like it's like having a slot machine that every time you put a quarter in, two pop out. Well, yeah, it'd be really nice if three quarters popped out, but I'm still taking the two quarters each time.
Yeah. Well, I think anything that you're investing, I mean, you're putting in a few bucks, and then in return, again, it goes back to what we touched on earlier, with almost a high percentage of likelihood you're going to get X amount back by giving X. I mean, a number that's lesser than what you're getting back. I mean, most businesses are going to do that. It's smart business. You give a dollar, you get $2 back. Hey, heck yeah, do that over and over and over again.
and that's something I mentioned that people don't market to their own customer list, and so this is kind of a little aside, but people get bored with the marketing they're doing before the shelf life has expired. A lot of times, though, too, right? So you got something that works. It's like, well, now it's that shiny object. Well, just like we talked about. Well, I got to go get a new customer, even though I got all these customers over here. Well, I got to find a new way to market, even though these three things I'm doing over here are working great. Don't quit those three things to go find the one. Keep doing the three while you're tinkering with number one and two and three and four and five. So. You'll get bored with your marketing before your customers or prospects will. So just keep plugging away.
All right, that's good. That's a good tip. Now, just a couple more questions. I know we've gone over some examples, like the boomerang, the bank bags, the pill bottle. I just want to know, I mean, are there some, some success stories that really stick out in your head for some clients that you've dealt with? And maybe tell how those work, just to give some inspiration to people that might be listening and are kind of stumped on what approach they should take with a direct mail campaign.
You bet. I was at a seminar this last month, and I actually had a chance. We actually had our booth there. We were attendees of the seminar and had our booth there, so I actually had a great opportunity to talk to a whole bunch of our customers. And one of the success stories I just recently heard was from a guy named Bill Goff, who's an Allstate insurance agent in Alabama. And what he's finding out is he's actually using we have these little mini trash cans, and these things are great. So they're picture in your mind's eye, and again, if you go to 3dmailresults.com, you can see a picture of it and pricing and all that good stuff. But these are like little mini trash cans. I mean, they look like a plastic trash can you would have sitting on the side of your road for the garbage van to come and pick up, but they're mini. They're about maybe the size of an oversized coffee mug, right? So maybe the big coffee mug that you get at the Starbucks there, it's about that size. It's plastic, so it's obviously much, much lighter. And what he's doing with that is so people that he's targeting and can't convert. So maybe he quoted them. Maybe he met them somewhere. Like I said, he does all different kinds of marketing. He has all different kinds of doors for people to come through and find him. And whether they buy or not right away, he's now got a marketing sequence that goes out after they have, if they haven't bought. And he's using these little trash cans. And again, the little mini trash cans, they're just like the bank bag I described earlier. You put your postage on the outside, you put your mailing label on the outside, you put a couple pieces of tape on the lid, you drop it in the mail, and what he's using that as is, so it'd say something like, Tom, since you obviously threw away my quote, I thought I would save you the trouble this time. And he crumples up the letter and he sticks it inside the little trash can and he mails that out to his customers. So it's really, really cool piece. So again, go to the website, 3dmailresults.com. You can see it there. But that's one really cool piece. I've got another cool piece that a lot of my customers are using. It's called a message in a bottle. Now again, you can see it at the website. But picture in your head, like, you know, the guy stranded on the deserted island, and he takes his bottle and he writes a message in it, and he rolls it up, sticks it in, sticks the cork on, and throws it out, and hopefully someone finds him, right? Same idea, only ours is a little plastic one, right? So it's much, much lighter, so it mails at a much, much lower rate than real glass. And again, you put your label on it, you put your postage on it, you put your mailing label on it, and you drop that in the mail. And so that one could be used for some of our listeners. Does your current financial planning feel like you're stranded on a deserted island? Does your current, let's see here, what else could we use? Does your current health insurance feel like you're stranded on a desert island? You know, all different kinds of ways we can use it. Really cool piece. We've probably mailed between, 75,000 of those little messages in a bottle over the last 2 or 3 years. For our customers, so they're really, really cool. What else do we have? We've had the bank bag. We've done the, there's really no shortages of things. Really, the bottom line is, Tom, is you're really only limited by your imagination when it comes to using this kind of stuff. Whether it's stuff that we provide to you or it's stuff that you want to go out and find yourself. I'll give you a perfect example. This was years and years ago. I haven't thought about it until now, but maybe 4 or 5 years ago, we had a customer come in, and he wanted little mini caskets, like coffins. So we were able to find him candy tins shaped like a casket, right? And that thing worked like gangbusters for him. He did really well with that piece. And I think he only mailed like 300 or 400. And I'm blanking on what his exact product was and what his exact offering was. But, I mean, that's how creative you can get with this stuff if you want. So you're really only limited by your imagination.
So if somebody does come up with an idea, for something to give some bulk to a mailing, they could contact someone like you. And, we're obviously giving a little plug for you. But they can contact someone like you and to help you track it down. Because that's something that, finding a casket or something like that. You could spend all day searching online, why not hire it out and have somebody find it for you?
Yep, you're absolutely right. That's something we can do. Keep in mind that if you're looking for 50 of something, we're probably not going to be able to source it for you real well. We do have minimums that we have to get from our manufacturers because we buy these all direct from our manufacturers. But if you're looking for several hundred of something, it's probably a case where we can find something for you. I'm just racking my brain trying to think of some of the other special order stuff we found. We found little airplane gliders in the past, so that actually spawned from somebody, so the little foam gliders that come in they come unassembled, so if you think about your kids when they get the little airplane, you stick the wings through the airplane body. We actually found several thousand for a customer who wanted airplane gliders. Now we've actually come to the point where we've stocked it because it was such a good idea that we used it for that. We use it now. So if you've got an idea that you want to kind of look into, we can almost always find something similar. But again, keep in mind that you're probably going to need to be in the several hundred to making that worthwhile for both me and you.
Okay. Well, one final question before we get into some information on how people can get in touch with you and if they have questions about direct mail and stuff. But what I wanted to get into a little bit here at the end is, you know, the reason that you and I connected was just because of your marketing approach and how you take a very educational approach, just like you're doing with this interview, where you're giving some good, valuable ideas for people how to use, you know, the product, the service that you, services that you offer. And is that something that can then carry over to mail? Can just B2B, B2C businesses, can they do educational type marketing through the mail?
I believe they can, absolutely. And we do a lot of that. And in fact, if you kind of, again, we'll get to it here at the end, but if you want to see exactly what Tom is talking about, where I do my education-based marketing, go to the website and request your free catalog. We'll get to that in a second. But I absolutely think you can. One thing that I do, though, is I do education-based marketing, to steal your term. However, even when I'm doing that, there's always an end game in mind, and especially when I mail, I may be educating, but I'm also making a direct offer somewhere in there. So it may be dollars off a certain order. It may be five items that are on special that you can get at a discounted price. It may be order this and we'll give you a free that, like I gave the umbrella example earlier. So, yes, I think you certainly can grow it. A lot of my education based is via marketing is based via email and direct mail, so I do a lot of both. But something to keep in mind, my kind of general rule of thumb is, even though I do a lot of teaching, I still always have what's the end game in mind, and then I almost always have some sort of firm offer, if you will, especially my direct mail. Email is a little different. I don't always make offers in my emails. In fact, I probably do about 80% with no offers and 20% with offers. That seems to be my sweet spot. But with direct mail, I do teach, but I do make offers in it still. So, you know, I kind of blur the line there a little bit with my mail.
Okay. So it seems, especially with then direct mail, that, you know, in effect what you're doing is you want to make sure your reader feels like they've been rewarded for their time, for taking the time to read your copy, to go through your letter, whatever it's that you're offering. And then the next logical step would be that offer. So,
absolutely. And just to give you a quick example, I may use direct mail to drive traffic to a webinar, and it's a free informative webinar, but then I also have an offer. So the direct mail piece is just an offer to come to the webinar. And on the webinar I might make an offer, say in a 60-minute webinar, take the last 5 minutes to tell somebody about what they, if they want to know more, if they want to do this or do that, they can do that. So even then, that's blurring the line. You know, I am big into the education-based marketing. As you've seen, Tom, I do a lot of it. So.
Yeah, I appreciate that approach. You do a great job with it. Well, let's give people now, you mentioned your website a couple times, but let's review that again and then just give some information on how people can contact you and, as we touched on a little earlier, see your education-based marketing in action.
You bet. Like I said, 3D mail results, the number 3, the letter D, 3D mail results. And what you'll want to get there is what I call my definitive guide to using 3D mail. And as soon as you go to that website, you should not be able to miss it. There's a thing right in the middle, and then there's that you can click to request it. There's also a yellow button off to the side, and it's on every single page. It says, get my free guide now. Go ahead and go get that. And here's what you'll get. It's a 44-page how-to guide on how to use 3D mail. So it goes way more in depth than we could ever cover on a what are we at now, about a 45-50-minute call. It goes way more in depth than that. It's 44 pages on how to use it, when to use it. It also has a catalog element to it, so it has all my products, pricing. But here's what's really cool. We also give you the headline ideas. So we talked about the boomerang, you know, Tom, we want you back, and the bank bag, and the pill bottle will cure your headaches. So what we do is we give you a ton of ideas for the headline, and the headline is where you're almost always going to tie in the thing that you're sending with your message. That was one of your very, very first questions, tying it in. So we almost always tie it in right away in the headlines. But then what you also get is, with my definitive guide, I also send you a CD, and that CD has a copyright-free sales letter template for each item that we sell. So there's one for the bank bag, there's one for the pill bottle, there's one for the boomerang, the compass. Every single product that we stock and have on hand has a fill-in-the-blank copyright-free sales letter template. It's stuff that we wrote, and it's kind of fill-in-the-blank style, and you really you're free to use it however and whenever you want. That's the you know, I think the definitive guide is really cool, don't get me wrong. I spent a lot of time developing that. But for our users, the people on the phone right now, on the call right now, that CD is going to be invaluable to you, getting you started and giving you ideas. So the whole thing is free. I cover postage. I cover the cost of the thing. I mean, there's zero money. You don't take out your credit card. Keep it away. All you do, I just need a mailing address because I actually mail these things to you because of the CD that we include with it. So, like I said, 3D mail results. Click on the link on the left-hand side that says Get My Free Guide. It's bright yellow. You can't miss it. And actually that's how Tom and I got connected. Is he got recommended through another customer of mine and got into my, and you got into, and correct me if I'm wrong, and then you got into that marketing funnel and saw how I was teaching you how to do it, which thus got you to pick up the phone a couple weeks later and give me a call to get on this phone call with you. So if you want to see that, what we've been talking about, go there right now, 3dmailresults.com. Again, it's completely free.
Yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer. I mean, just to watch it, watch the 3D mail in action, see the educational approach in action. Like, I've got your bank bag sitting right here, People's Community National Bank, green bag right here sitting next to me, still got it.
Yeah, and that's another thing I should mention, too, is so you'll get on my mailing list, so you'll start seeing this stuff in action. And like we said at the very beginning, if I send you something and it moves your needle, it's probably going to move a whole bunch of other people's needle. So we practice what we preach. So you're going to go into my marketing sequence, and you're going to get systematized marketing pieces every so often. So I won't reveal the whole thing because then there won't be any need to go and get it. But you'll even see it in action. And as you said, Tom, you probably received a handful of pieces from me already. It's really cool.
All right. Well, perfect, Travis. Well, I really appreciate the time, and thanks for sharing such valuable insight. And again, for everybody listening, the website is 3dmailresults.com. And then, Travis, one more thing real quick. If people have questions about using direct mail, and once they start getting your stuff, and are you accessible on email or accessible via phone? I mean, what's the best way to reach you?
If you go to the website, there's a phone number at the top of the website. You can call us there. We're Pacific Time, and so you can get that phone number off the top of the website. We also have a form you can fill out, a contact us form on the website, should you need us there. So there's a phone number there for you. There's a contact form there on the website that you can get a hold of us. And then, of course, if you say, Travis, I want to order 100 bank bags, you can order 100 bank bags right there on the website. So two different ways to get a hold of us via the web. Via the web, and then our phone number on the website as well, and we can get you taken care of.
All right, perfect. Well, thanks again, Travis. I really appreciate the time.
Thanks, Tom.
All right.